It's the North Shore Vineyard Church audio podcast, and I'm Crispin Schroeder. Today on the podcast, we have audio from our service on November 28th. This kicks off the first in a series of messages we're doing for the Christmas season called Advent Conspiracy. This first message is going to be about worship, responding to God, responding to the good news of the Advent. So check it out. And we do have, in addition to this, we're going to be raising some money over the next few weeks. We're going to take up a special offering in about 4 weeks to send to an organization called Seeds of Hope, who's doing water wells and training, job training, all kinds of good stuff in Zambia. So we're asking folks to maybe set aside a little money they would use to spend on one Christmas gift and put that towards helping folks in Zambia. So if you want to partner with us on that, let us know. Show up, drop something in our offering here in a few weeks. All right. Well, thanks for listening. Let's head to the talk.
One of my favorite things about Christmas is Christmas music. Do y'all like Christmas music in here? I'm a big fan. And, you know, the songs like Silent Night, Away in a Manger, Oh Holy Night, We Three Kings, there's all kinds of stuff. Oh Come Emmanuel, that's one of my favorites. But, you know, these songs are kind of like a soundtrack to an actual story. And I think too often when it comes to Christmas, Christmas can be just kind of this abstract concept out there. You know, we've got so much stuff mixed in, you know, mistletoe and trees and lights and Mary and Santa and elves and all this stuff. And I'm not saying all, you know, all that's bad, but I think sometimes we fail to understand that this was actually a real story with real people. So today I want to start off this Advent season by looking first at who the characters were. You know, God chose to tell a story. The most important story ever written. the author stepped into the story, Jesus himself. But it's so interesting. I think you'll find today as we look at this story, look at the characters that God brings into the story, that God starts off his story. And I think as we look into this, it'll possibly give some of us a little bit of hope, you know, that if God could start his story with these people, hey, we're in luck. So let's look at some of the characters. What's the cast of characters? The first is Mary. Mary's a teenage girl. We got a teenage girl in here, huh? Yeah, all right. Mary's just an ordinary teenage girl. Actually, she's a teenage girl from a rural area, you know, kind of, you know, obscure part of Palestine. Just a normal teenage girl. Second characters that I want us to look at is Mary's engaged to be married to a guy named Joseph. Joseph's most likely a carpenter's son, because we know that Jesus was a carpenter, and usually that's kind of the family business passed down to father to son. So you got Mary and Joseph, a teenage couple engaged to be married. Mary has a cousin named Elizabeth, and she's married to a guy named Zechariah. Now, Elizabeth and Zechariah, they're old people. I mean, they're not, you know, extremely old, but they're beyond the age of childbearing. Elizabeth has never had a child before, been wanting one. But the Bible says that they were good people. So the first characters that we're introduced into in the Christmas story is two old people who've never had any kids and two young people, two teenagers that are engaged to be married. Then we have the shepherds. The shepherds were just... We find on the night that Jesus was born, the shepherds are just kind of these incidental characters. They happen to get in on the story. These are working class guys doing a job that nobody wants to do. Being a shepherd back in that day was not a glamorous job. It was kind of, it made you a bit of a second class citizen. And then there are the Magi. You've heard that song, We Three Kings of Orient Are. Well, you know, they weren't really kings. That was kind of a medieval tradition that came up. Magi, you ever heard the word magic, right? Magi is kind of the root word for that. These guys were like New Age astrologers. You know, they were into divination and looking at the stars for signs. And somehow they see a star that pops up and they decide to follow it. It means something to them. So these are people outside of Judaism, because, I mean, the Bible says, don't do divination. And these are guys that do that. And they stumble upon the coming of Jesus. So I want to ask the question right off the bat, why the heck would you, if you're doing a story, if you're planning the rescue event to save the world, why would you involve this particular cast of characters? You got young people, old people, shepherds, and these New Age folks. I mean, if I was telling a story, I'd do it like Steven Spielberg. You know, I'd start, you know, it'd be this incredible thing. The child would be born to a noble family, and you know, they'd get going, and it would be majestic. But does this strike you as just kind of a random group? One thing all these people have in common is none of them have much power. I mean, they're all kind of on the fringes. You got people that are too old, that feel like they've missed their prime. You got people that are too young. You got people that are outside of Judaism. And then you got just these random shepherds. Well, I want us to look at how they respond to God, because this is key to us this morning. I love the way Jesus, when he comes on the scene, his first message in the book of Matthew is the Sermon on the Mountain. And how does Jesus start this? He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." What's that mean? As Phil put it on the South Shore, it means you lucky bums. You lucky bums. Jesus was saying, what Jesus wasn't saying was, you got to be, you know, get all false humility and stuff, and oh, I don't deserve the kingdom of God, and maybe I'll get it. No, what Jesus was saying is, blessed are you guys who are on the fringes, you who are not, you know, religious scholars. You don't have power and wealth and position and prestige. You're not famous. You got nothing going for you. You're picked last for basketball. Blessed are you. You guys get in on the kingdom of heaven. Those are the words of Jesus after he's entered into ministry, but we see the beginnings of that in this very story. We see that it's the poor in spirit. Jesus doesn't, as one of my favorite songwriters, Bruce Coburn, says, it's not to the palace that the Christ child comes, but to shepherds and street people, hookers and bums. Jesus comes to the ones that nobody would, you don't start a story like this. But God does. See, God is saying something in this story, if we'll pay attention. You know, if you look at it, what Jesus says, and even the ministry of Jesus. I've talked about it so much here in the last few months, but Jesus, when he goes and has a party with Matthew, what's he saying? He's saying, the kingdom of heaven is for you. But I'm a tax collector, man. All my friends are sinners. And Jesus is saying, the invitation is open for you. The woman caught in adultery, the Samaritan woman, the leper, all the people that were kept away from God under Judaism, Jesus is just busting it wide open. He's saying, the kingdom of heaven is here. And it doesn't matter if you're a shepherd working a job that nobody sees in the middle of the night, you can get in on it. Doesn't matter if you're a teenage girl from a rural part of the country, you can get in on it. But it does require a response. It's interesting that when we look at the, if you look at the, you can actually, I'm not going to read all the stories today. It'd be good for you to check them out. There's not a whole lot of scriptures on the Advent story, but you can find them mainly in Matthew and in Luke. But what we find in Matthew and Luke, out of the responses of the characters that I've listed, the only ones who have kind of a slow response is the guys. So the women, when you look at Mary and Elizabeth, they're like, let's go. You look at Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah. He was actually, out of all the characters in this, he's probably the only one that you would start with. You know, he's a priest, and it comes time for him to go burn incense in the temple. That was part of the ritual. So Zechariah goes into the temple to burn some incense, and he's burning his incense, and all of a sudden bumps into Gabriel, the archangel, the one who stands before God day and night. And Gabriel tells him that, he said, your wife is going to have a son, and you're going to name him John, and he's going to prepare the way for the Messiah, who's going to be John the Baptist. Now, if I bumped into, I suspect, I could be just like Zachariah probably, but you bump into an angel in the middle of a temple while you're burning incense, I'd probably take what he had to say seriously. But Zachariah kind of has some doubts. And so the angel says, okay, you got some doubts? Well, you're going to be mute. You're not going to be able to speak until the baby's born. So Zachariah believes, but he has to keep his mouth shut. He can't talk. Then there's Joseph on the other hand. Joseph is engaged to be married. He's got this cute little girl, Mary, and you know they're excited. They're getting married, and then all of a sudden, Mary comes to him one day and says, Joseph, I got something to tell you. This is crazy. I'm pregnant. It's God. Joseph naturally has a hard time believing that. He wants to go on Mari Povich and get a DNA test. And the Bible says that he's kind of thinking that he would like to divorce her quietly, you know, because he loves her, but he's like, you know, I can't have this happening. But the angel comes to Joseph in a dream and says, Joseph, this is okay. This is a God thing. Simmer down. And so Joseph, despite how everything looks, he goes, okay, great. We'll roll with that. Next characters are the shepherds. I love this. Well, actually, let's look at the Magi first. The Magi, this is so interesting to me. You know, these guys are the last people. This would be like the guys telling fortune down in Jackson Square. You know, you would think if God's going to show up and do something in New Orleans, you would probably, you know, a respectable church person, you'd think these guys would not get in on it, right? You'd kind of think, you know, they're not into Christianity. They're into this occult magic stuff over here. The Bible clearly says that that's wrong. And here were the Magi observing the stars, and they see a star, and what is their response? It says they decided to go worship him. So they come to King Herod, and they say, Herod, man, look, they actually probably figured that Herod knew about the coming king and would be excited like them. You know, they're like, hey, we've been watching this star, and we followed it all the way here, and where's the new king? And Herod's like, king? What do you mean? Yeah, the king of the Jews that's supposed to be born. We discerned it by the signs in the heaven. And Herod's like, where's he supposed to be born? And they tell him and all this stuff, and they almost screw things up. But we see even their response, even these people who are not a part of Christianity, I mean, there wasn't any Christianity at the time, but not a part of Judaism, they were not following Old Testament law. They were on the outskirts, but even their response was to worship and to come and bring gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. See, I find a lot of times, you know, people outside the church got more sense than some of the people in the church. Sometimes people you think are so far away from God have more sense when they know to worship when God reveals himself to them. And basically that's what we see happening. And then, you know, probably one of my favorite things here is Luke 2, the shepherds. Verse 8 says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night, and the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. I probably thought they were seeing UFOs and stuff, you know? They were terrified, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God, singing the same song that we sang this morning. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they'd been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. You lucky bums. Shepherds. These guys weren't, you know, I mean, at least the Magi, they were looking, they were into spirituality, okay? They had the wrong kind of spirituality, but at least they were looking. But, I mean, these shepherds, they weren't looking for God. They were just working. They just seem so random in the story. But God, in his wisdom, decides to reveal himself to some people that weren't even looking. They were just doing a job nobody wanted to do, an obscure, thankless job, out in the middle of the night, watching a bunch of sheep. I love that. Why do I love that? Because I think maybe there's hope for me, right? So in the story, we see people who were like Elizabeth and Zechariah, who were sincerely looking for God, and they were obeying all the rules. We see the Magi, who were into spirituality, but certainly not traditional spirituality, but they were looking for God. Then we see the shepherds who weren't even looking. God reveals himself to all kinds of people when he comes up. And I love the response of the shepherds. They drop what they're doing and they find Jesus. And they won't shut up when they do. They go on telling everybody about it. But I think perhaps the best response that I can see comes from Mary. Think about this. God decides to do a rescue plan. And, you know, this day and age, being a woman, you got rights, and you got opportunities. You can do all kinds of things in America, right? Now, some countries you can't. But you can get an education, you can get a job, whatever. Back at that time, understand, being a woman, the only hope you had was if you found a good man to be your husband and then had a son as a child. If you didn't find someone to be married, then your options were not good at all. You couldn't go to school. You couldn't get a job. You were going to be at home. Your only hope was that you'd at least get, you know, a place to live and some meals. And so, you know, that's why when we see the early church, they took care of widows. And when you take care of a widow, you know, I got a widow living next door to me, but she's got this nice house and she's got family who visits and stuff like that. But back in that day, if you were a widow, you know what that meant? That meant that unless you had a son that would support you, you'd be homeless. Being a woman at that time of the world was very much being a second-class citizen. The only person that would be weaker than a woman and more powerless than a woman at that time would be children. And so God starts off his plan with a teenage girl. And not one from the palace of the emperor, but one from, it'd be the equivalent of, like, you know, Franklinton. Out in the sticks. He starts off with the most, it's like God just tries to up the ante to just see how weak and powerless and obscure can I start this thing so people see the glory of God. And he starts with Mary. And I love Mary's response. When the angel comes to Mary and says, This is good things are going to happen, Mary. What does Mary say? Does she try to talk him out? You ever try to talk God out? You know, God tells you something, you're like, oh, I mean, really, God? I mean, I don't deserve this. And, you know, I mean, there's somebody better than this. You know, I don't read my Bible enough. I don't pray enough. Mary just says, cool. Let's do this. Awesome. Have your way. I'll read the story, just so you know. This is from the first chapter of Luke. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, her cousin, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth. Gabriel was staying pretty busy in this story. To a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, "Greetings to you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. What's the catch? What do do I got to do here? But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus," which means God is salvation. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word of God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. I love that. She doesn't argue with God. She doesn't try to talk him out of it. She's not like Joseph and Zechariah. You know, she just says, "May your will be done. Wow, if you want to do this, do it. Cool." And what we see in the next chapter, obviously Mary probably has to process this a bit. What we see in the next chapter of Luke, we see that Mary runs into her sister, her cousin Elizabeth. And Elizabeth's got John the Baptist in her belly. And here Mary has the embryonic Jesus in her belly. The life, the very life of God within her. And it says Mary burst out in a song of praise. And this is what Mary says. She says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has gone and done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm, and he has scattered all those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down the rulers from their thrones and has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary, filled with the life of God, her response is to just overflow in praise. And she starts singing about how God is merciful to the humble, to those who got nothing going for them, to those who aren't the best and the brightest, who are not the rich and the powerful. God shows his mercy. And she gets caught up in worship. See, I think that's the thing that we see in all these responses of the characters that were there. We see their response is to simply worship God. See, really, you can look at the Gospels, and much of the Gospel narratives, what we see is that it's really a picture of how people respond to God. And there are people we see in the Gospel stories who are indignant. We see people who are prideful when it comes to Jesus, people who are arrogant, people who flat out oppose Jesus. But we see many, typically, usually the humble, the lucky bums among them, whose only response is to receive the good news and respond and live in that. And I think as we step into this Advent season right now, this time of reflecting on Jesus and what he did, that can be the only appropriate response for us, that we don't just walk through this season kind of just indifferent or caught up or letting ourselves be pressed in by the stresses financially and otherwise, but that we respond in worship. Can you identify with anybody in this story today? I thank God. You know, I thank Jesus that he started with the 12 disciples he started with. I can identify with Peter. I can identify with Thomas. And I thank God that when he started this story, even before Jesus was born, we see that it's already the defining thing, that it's the people It's just simple people with humble hearts who respond thankfully to who God is and what he's doing. And this morning, I want us to sing that song again that we sang in worship today that was actually taken from when the shepherds encountered the angels. I love that. They kind of got in on a pretty cool worship service. These ordinary shepherds out in the fields alone doing a thankless job get caught up in a choir of angels singing praise to God. So why don't y'all stand with me and let's close by singing this song, Glory to God, again. Peace on earth, there is hope for everyone. Tell the world that the saving King has come, and his light is here for all who live in darkness. And his love is here for all the brokenhearted. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth, there is hope for everyone. Tell the world that the saving King has come, and his light is here for all who live in darkness. And his love is here for all the brokenhearted. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God in the highest. Jesus Messiah, the promise fulfilled, the hope of the world born for us. And all who believe him and all who receive him are children born of God. Jesus Messiah, the promise fulfilled, the hope of the world born for us. And all who believe him and all who receive him are children born of God. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God, glory to God, and glory to God in the highest. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God in the highest. Well, we thank you. We thank you for your plan to rescue our world, Lord. Lord, that we commemorate during this season. Lord, for you, Jesus, coming into our, stepping into the story. And we thank you, God, this morning, even as we look at the people you start with, God. Lord, we thank you that there's hope for us, Lord. God, that there's no person too old or too young or too much on the margins for you to reveal yourself to them, Lord. God, we respond to the revelation of who you are by just saying, have your way, God. Do what you want. God, we offer our lives to you, God, in worship, surrender. And we just pray in the coming days, God, that, Lord, you would show up. Lord, you would show yourself to us. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, guys. Well, if you'd like any prayer, well, glad to pray for you. And otherwise, we'll see you next week.